Bless Pastor Christina as she brings this message to us this morning, and help us to use it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ray, so much. Well, good morning, Edgewater. It's so good to see so many familiar faces. My name's Christina Shalhoub, and there's some new faces here, too. For those of you that don't know me, I used to be a member here at Edgewater. I started back close to its beginning, around 2008. And was part of the leadership team, was part of children's ministry, was part of set down, take up. You know how it goes. When you're a church plant, everybody has their hands in, and it's like a family. And that's exactly what it feels like coming back here. It feels like coming home. It feels like coming to family. And I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be here with you this morning and to be able to speak with you and just hear more about what's going on with Edgewater, too. I had the opportunity, actually, last week of serving with some of your congregation and youth at Loaves and Fishes last weekend and Martinez. And so that was such a joy to get to see people again. I met Mark for the first time and several of your youth, and got to see Karen and Ezra again. And it's just been such a great time getting to see everyone. But that's kind of when we haven't seen somebody for a very long time. One of the first questions we ask is, what's new? What's been going on? What's new? And that is the title of today's message, because we are going to be diving into that question and looking at it a little differently from the perspective of a verse in Isaiah. So we are going to be reading out of Isaiah 43:19, and you can read it on the screen or pull out your Bibles if you prefer. And Isaiah reminds the Israelites at the time that when they were under Babylonian rule, he speaks this over them to remind them of the things that God has done for them in the past. And he says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And while this was a time for the Israelites that is different for us, because what's the main difference between the Israelites of the Old Testament and us of the church era today? We have the Holy Spirit. And this was such an encouragement to them, and how much more of an encouragement is it to us when we know that Jesus left us not alone, that Jesus left us with the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit living in each and every single one of us. And that means that every time, "See, I am doing a new thing," when we hear that, we know that that is true and working in us every single day and every moment. Now, this reminds me, part of why I chose this verse is a couple weeks ago, we had what we call kids camp, or what was formerly Vacation Bible School, if you're familiar with that lingo. And we had several kids come to my church that I serve at Hope Center in Pleasant Hill. And we were talking about this verse, and we were looking at it through the eyes of Esther, the story of Esther. And if you know anything about the book of Esther, you know it's the one book in the Bible where God is never mentioned. And it seems odd. Why would you put this book in the canonical texts in our scriptures when God is not mentioned? And the theme of our week was uncovering the fingerprints of God in unexpected places. Because God's fingerprints are so clearly throughout the entire book of Esther. She was placed in a certain moment in time. She was placed for a moment such as this. But she didn't do it alone. She had her Uncle Mordecai. She had her Uncle Mordecai that was there to speak encouragement to her, to speak challenge to her, to encourage her to speak up in a place that was really life or death. When she went to the king, If the king did not receive her, she would have been killed. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty terrifying thing that I don't think we can fully understand or comprehend, because we're not usually put in life or death situations like that in modern times. But God put people around her, people to speak into her life, to remind her of who she was, to remind her of what God's done for her people, and to remind her that God was now calling her to a place and a position to save her people. And that was the new thing God was doing at that time. And so part of what we're going to be focusing on when we say that I am doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? We're going to focus a little bit on the people. Who has God put around you? Or who has God put for you to speak into? Are you the Mordecai? Are you the one that's going to be the encourager? Are you in a position where you're being asked to support someone and to lift someone up? Or are you in an Esther situation? Are you in a position where God might be calling you into something scary or into something that's unknown, but he's calling you into something new? And so who are your Mordecais around you? And who are you paying attention to that's around you? And I just wanted to share a picture of my crew here, because these were my people for the week of kids camp. These were my people. I was Lady Tina there in the black dress. We had a Mystery Mansion theme. And I had my crew of cooks and detectives and General Ketchup and Mrs. Parrot and and all of my friends there, and even the dog. And we had such a great time. And during this week, it's amazing how God he's always working, and God is always using what you're teaching others. You think you're going in to perform for some kids, hoping some accept Jesus, but at the same time, God is working on you when you're serving in this. And during this week, one of the things that we talked about is that where is God in my circumstances, or where is God when I'm afraid? And this week, I actually had a job interview for a promotion that I had to do on top of kids camp and working and going to school, because I'm also in seminary, which you'll hear a little bit about later. But I didn't get the promotion. And you know what? Because of everything I was learning that week, the people that I was serving with, and the people that God had speaking into me and praying over me during this week, as well as the kids that I was pouring into that week, I was able to really live out what we were saying. Because we were saying, where is God in my circumstances? And our call and response was, it's no mystery. And we pulled out our magnifying glass. God is there. Because when we don't feel him, when we are going through that wilderness or that wasteland season, and we don't feel God, or we don't have that emotional connection, sometimes it can be hard to remember that whether we feel it or not, God is still there. God is still working. And he is working in you and your community, and he is working in Edgewater, and he is working in everyone that you see around you right now. And we are meant to do that together. We are meant to do that in community. And that was such a special time to be able to do that. So when we say, do you not perceive it? How do we perceive it? What are some ways that we can pay attention to what God's doing in our life? And I wanted to teach you, this is a little bit more out of the toolkit, and if you're familiar with it, great. If not, maybe it'll be something new for you in our what's new. But I wanted to go over something called the Kairos Circle. And this is just a simple tool that was created based off of what Jesus tells us out of Mark 1:15. And in Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And There's three things I want to focus on here, because he's saying the kingdom is near. And Jesus talks so much about the kingdom in the New Testament. And what does that actually mean? It means that when Jesus broke through God on earth, he brought the kingdom with him here on earth. We are in that in-between time where we are seeing glimpses of the kingdom. We are seeing glimpses of the perfect shalom that God intended for his creation, not just for us with his creator, but with each other. He intended creation to be in perfect harmony, to be helping one another, to be supporting each other, to be lifting one another up. And we each have a different role in that to play. So when we say kairos, there's two Greek words for time. There's chronos, which is like chronological time. That's the time constraint we as humans are bound to here on earth, right? And then there's kairos. And kairos is a moment in time. This is the breakthrough that Jesus is talking about. When Jesus says, "My kingdom has come near," these are the moments, the kairos moments that we want to pay attention to, that Jesus is trying to get our attention, that the Holy Spirit is stirring something up inside of you. And these can be small moments or these can be big moments, but they are constantly happening. And how often are we perceiving it so that we can understand the new thing that God is trying to do, not only in our individual lives, but in our community and what's happening around us in the time and place you have been placed, because you have also been put here for such a time as this. Every single one of us have. And are we perceiving what that new thing is that God's calling us to? So a simple around the circle here. Once you have that moment, you stop and observe to recognize what's going on. And then you can reflect. Some people journal. Maybe you're praying to God as you're reflecting in different ways. However you spend time with God. Some people abide by walking through nature. Some people are more, I am not a morning person at all. I cannot do 5 a.m. quiet times with journaling. That is not my cup of tea. But late night at 11 or 12 o'clock, God and I are good. We're having a great time together. So whatever that time looks like for you, this requires abiding with the Lord, spending some time. And then you can discuss that with your people. Again, who are your people? Who are the people that God has placed you with, that when you have those moments, whether they're big or small, who are you able to discuss that with? I have my family here today, my mom and my dad, also Pastor Steve, and my brother Steve. And these are some of my people. My crew at kids camp are some of my people that I'm able to discuss these things with when God gets my attention. And that is part of the repent side. That's where we are stopping. We are trying to change our mind. And we're trying to understand that God's doing a shift in us. So this is what we mean when we say repent. We are simply changing our minds. And we're paying attention to what God's trying to change in us or around us. And then it's time to make a plan. We just can't stay in the repent side, right? It's so easy to go to Bible studies and study the word and know your scriptures. But what are you doing with it? Your relationships, who you're hanging out with, those are all wonderful things. But God is using those to draw you near to him. And so we don't want to waste that. And we want to move over to the believe side. This is an action. This is a call to action. When Jesus says, now you need to repent and believe, he's asking us to now do something about it. And that's when it's time to make a plan. And your people come back again, because who's going to hold you accountable? I know if I don't tell somebody my plan, it's so easy to say, we'll put that off for later. I'm an ultimate procrastinator, so I am very guilty of this. And if I do not tell somebody about the plan that God has asked me to do and that I've put together with him, I will not get it done if I don't have somebody checking in on me. So who are your accountability people? Who are the people that are coming around to encourage you? Or if your plan is to encourage someone else, who's making sure that you are doing that? And you're spending time and pouring into that person that God's calling you to. And then the last is just simply do it. Like Nike says, just do it. And that's what it, this is part of a tool that just helps me to understand a practical way that we can perceive how to hear from God and do what he says. Because that is ultimately what the path of sanctification looks like. After you become a believer and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, it doesn't end there, does it? We are a working project constantly. And God is always working on us. And by doing this and stopping and paying attention, we are able to continue with these kairos moments where God is actually drawing us closer to himself so that those new things can spring up. That he can show you through the chaos of the wilderness, whether that's doing a million things at once, which our culture so often makes us guilty of, doing too many things, the sin of busyness, as we call it sometimes. If that's your wilderness because you're struggling to survive, God is making a way through that. But the only way we can perceive it is by abiding in him. And if we're in that wasteland where we just don't, we don't feel close to God, we're in a spiritual drought, we know that Jesus is here. We know that he is alive and well and sitting on the throne. We know the Holy Spirit is inside of us. But sometimes there are those moments or those seasons where it just doesn't feel as close. But that's where God brings the streams. And again, the only way we can recognize the streams where we can drink from that living water that's flowing through the wastelands is by stopping and abiding. And abiding with your Creator who loves you, who wants you to live life to the full. And by spending time with him, that's how we are able to do that. And I just want to share a story of, for me, one of the bigger kairos moments that's happened in my life in the last season since I've left Edgewater is I started seminary. I have a master's degree in family studies and human services. I never used it. I work in administration at the local community college district. I'm an executive assistant for the CFO for DVC or LMC here in Pittsburgh and CCC out in San Pablo. That's my full-time job. That's what I do. And I wasn't sure when God started calling me to ministry, one of the first places that I had the opportunities to practice my spiritual gifts was here at Edgewater. The founding pastor here, John Fanous, and his wife, Becky, were amazing mentors of mine. They spoke life into me. They spent time with me. They showed me what they saw God doing in my life and called out spiritual gifts that they saw in me and then gave me the opportunity to act it out. I didn't even know I was doing the Kairos circle yet because I had somebody else paying attention for me. And I had someone else pouring into me and giving up of their time and energy to build up what they saw God doing in me until I believed it for myself. And then shortly after that, there was a time when I have two daughters, and as they were getting older, they wanted to be closer to their friends in Martinez, which is where I live. And so we ended up going back to Hope Center, and they were attending the youth group there, and that's what got me back at Hope Center. And I found myself in some of the same positions. Because Edgewater had filled into me, I had more confidence and more practice of what my spiritual gifts were, where God was calling me and how he wanted me to serve. And I had the opportunity to be on leadership team there. I also worked in children's ministry. I worked in youth ministry. I currently serve there with our junior high program. So I work a lot with junior high girls, which is one of my favorite ages. And they have so much energy in life, and it's so fun. But as I was talking with the Lord, I felt that he was calling me to potentially go into full-time ministry, but I didn't know what that looked like. So I started reflecting on that and talking with people, and one of the things that happened was at a women's retreat at Mission Springs. I know a few of you have attended, and if you haven't, I highly encourage you to attend. It's so much fun, and it's so just refreshing to be in the middle of the Redwoods. There's just something about just getting out of the city and being in the Redwoods that is just very relaxing and refreshing. And I met with a spiritual director there, and I was speaking with her about different things that I was feeling the Lord was telling me and different things he was trying to get my attention on. And she said, well, it sounds pretty clear, like, that you're supposed to go to school. Like, if you've been asked to apply for this program, it's starting this fall, then I think it's pretty clear. You have all the support. You have everybody speaking into you. Nothing's going against God's word. And it sounds pretty clear. And I'm like, okay, well, I just gave you all that information. So I, you know, I'm a skeptical type. I don't really just jump in and believe when somebody says, hey, go do this. I really have to map it out and think through it and be like, is this really from the Lord? Or am I just putting myself in this situation? And that was the first year that they had a church there of women that were doing prophetic prayer up at the front. And that was my first time experiencing prophetic prayer. And if you don't know what that is, that's just simply someone who is praying over you and listening for the Holy Spirit. And it could be a word of encouragement, of challenge, of strength, of comfort, but they're simply just listening to the Holy Spirit. And my practice is, if you do this, it's always, I don't know if this is from the Lord or not, but here's what I heard. And they did that over me, and the first thing the lady said that was praying over me that I did not know, I had never met this woman in my life, was, all I'm hearing is God is saying school. And at that moment, I was like, loud and clear, got it. Now, you'd think I would have said yes right away, but of course that's not me either, because as we know, or as I have just told you, I am a procrastinator, and I do not necessarily say yes right away. So it took about 5 years. 5 years of reflecting, repenting, being on that side of the circle. But eventually I did. I put a plan together, and I was able to apply, and I am now a part of the Ignite program, which is part of our larger Covenant denomination, and it's a school that's connected with North Park University in Chicago, and it's a lovely partnership because financially they split, and it's a partnered cohort model seminary, which is perfect, because that's exactly what I'm learning. That's exactly what I'm teaching. You don't do this alone. And now I'm doing this with my group. And I believe that is where, yeah, there's my people. And God gave me some more people. And when we met at Mission Springs for the first time, because we do mostly class online, so we don't get a lot of interaction, but once a semester, we get together for 1 week of an intensive. And we get to be in person with each other, reading and writing nonstop, and also making time for fellowship every evening and staying up at ridiculous hours of the night, pretending like we're 20-year-old college students again, which most of us are not. But that first intensive together, there was a breakthrough when we talked. We had to just talk about these pictures that were laid in front of us. And one person, it just took one person, broke down and started crying about a business of his that had closed during COVID. And he wasn't sure what God had next for him, but he was here. And when that wall went down and that vulnerability was opened up, the entire group, it was like a waterfall effect. We all jumped in together. We all leaned into one another. The walls were down. We were all vulnerable with one another. And now I can say that this group of people are the people that I know are praying for me every day. They are the ones that I go to if I have theological questions Because we're all, I mean, I still struggle with things that I don't fully comprehend. We will never comprehend all of Scripture until we are with Jesus again. Amen? But we do the best we can, and we do not stop, because he tells us that his word should be living on our and written on our hearts. And that's what we strive for, so that we can be more like Jesus. And these are my people that help me stay accountable and learn what it means to be more like Jesus. And by hearing from such a diverse group of people, these people are from all over the United States. And we even have some people that immigrated from Colombia. And we have people that are in all different walks of life that just make it such a richer conversation and a better reflection of who God is. Because God created us in his image, which means that that's a reflection of all of us working together and the diversity together that that brings. That is what the kingdom of God looks like. Amen. And so that is such an amazing experience to have. And so one of the other reminders I want to bring with us, as we said, you know, we have the Holy Spirit now. So yes, Isaiah was talking to the Israelites. He was talking to a group of people that were under rule by Babylon. And sometimes that can feel like, well, is that still true for me today? Because that was for a specific time and a specific group of people. But in John, it's recorded for Jesus saying, in his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. And this, for me, in the Gospels, is a reminder that that verse in Isaiah is still true today. God is still the God of the old and the God of the new. And he is still working constantly. We just don't always pay attention. We get stuck in the wilderness and the wastelands, and we don't allow time to stop and see where he's making a way or where those streams are running in your wasteland. And that's what God is calling us to pay attention to. And when we do that, how much fuller and joyful our lives are, despite our circumstances, despite ourselves and our own shortcomings, despite anything that gets in the way of our relationship with our Lord, because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Absolutely nothing. And so are we willing to take the time and abide and pay attention to where God is working? So, as you probably saw in your bulletins, you have some homework. Because just as this doesn't end with me and my stories, while I hope they are helpful and encouraging, you know, I find the best way to see God at work is to actually hear stories of how God is working through others. And I'm excited to hear that you guys are having a youth program next Sunday, because after a full week at camp, I know God does so much at camp, and I've experienced that through my own kids when they've come home. Ezra actually baptized my daughter Jeanette, and that was very exciting for me, and I was able to watch that on video. But so much happens that week. God is at work in our youth. They are not the future of our church. They are the church. And as much as we forget that sometimes, they're the ones that are going to help us understand what's new and what's springing up. And we want to hear how God is working through those moments that they spend together. And so I'm so excited to hear that you guys are doing that next Sunday, and I wish I could be here for that, but maybe I'll watch it on the live stream. So welcome back, youth, and I hope you had an amazing time at camp. And thank you, Ezra and Karen, for taking the youth for so many years. They took my kids as well. Even after we moved churches, they were still attending youth camp with the Ingalls, because they just had so much fun there connecting with the youth there. So that was a very, very special time for them. But the question is, what's new that God is working on in you? Are you abiding to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak into your life? Where has God placed you? At your job, in your community, the people that you're around, maybe a family situation. I don't take for granted that my family is here. They are so supporting. Last year, I actually got to take a trip with my dad to Denmark. He is a very avid Lego man. He's actually known as the Lego Man of Martinez, as a Facebook page and everything. Little plug there. But we got to spend some time actually going to the birthplace of the Lego and touring Denmark together. And next week, I'll be leaving with my mom to take her on one of her bucket list trips. Well, kind of. It's a compromise bucket list trip. But we're going on a cruise to Alaska. And I don't take for granted my relationship with my parents, because so many people have come up to me, oh, I could never go on a 10-day trip with my mother. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. So that is one of the things that I count as a blessing for sure in my life, and I do not take that for granted, that I very much enjoy and I'm looking forward to. And have been so excited that I've been able to take both of my parents on trips that they've wanted to go to. But what's new working? How is God working something new in you, in the place that he's put you in? Again, with your workplace, your community, your church. God is doing something with Edgewater. And what is happening here? I love the partnerships with the youth programs that you have with the other churches, because that's what community looks like, working together. So I love that that's happening. But something to contemplate. So you can start working on that Kairos circle and make a plan for what God has for you. And then next, who has God placed in your life to help you perceive this new thing? Because he hasn't left you alone to do this. You are not a silo. God himself was in community with the Trinity before creation. And he created us to operate in that same way. He created us to operate in community. We need one another. We can't accomplish what God's asking us to do alone. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need each other. And without those things, we're operating out of our own strength. I remember Miss Diane, who used to attend here every single Sunday, she would come up behind me, ask me how something was going. Whatever came out of my mouth, didn't matter what it was, she would say, Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, there's another way to find that way in the wilderness. God's way will make you straight, but you have to trust in the Lord. You have to put your faith in the Lord. You have to understand, where is God speaking to me so that I can trust you, even if you're calling me into something new, something scary, something unknown. If we believe that, then we know that he will make a way for us. And then last, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit on it for 5 years like I did? Possibly. God restores everything, even when our free will takes a pause on things sometimes, right? He always works with us. He meets us where we're at constantly. So give yourself grace. But don't stop there. And don't let that discourage you. If you're in the middle of something where you've been waffling back and forth, but it's clear that God has asked you to do something, take that first step and just bring those other people in. Bring your people in. Start talking to them while you're praying with God about it. And he will make your path straight. He will make the streams clear. He will make the way clear when we are constantly leaning into him. So I hope that this is something that has been encouraging for you. I know it's been very encouraging to me just to be here and just remember how much Edgewater poured into me. And I just want to thank you for that, because this was my home for a very long time. And it still feels like family when I come back. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And I will continue to pray for the new things that God is doing with Edgewater. And may you perceive it as it springs up. Find those streams and find the ways and abide in him.
Thank you so much, Christina. Thank you, Lord, for coming and meeting us here today. Thank you for the gifts that you've poured out on Christina and for her willingness to come and serve you how you've called and to share her journey with us, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for all the different gifts that you've blessed the people in this room here together and the larger body. Father God, thank you so much for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do, and for teaching us to keep our eyes open to what's new. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you again, Edgewater. It's been such a blessing to be here with you all today. And as you go throughout your week, may God speak clearly to you. May you abide with him so that he can make clear the ways in the wilderness and the streams in the wasteland. Go in peace. Thank you.